All right, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to Indestructible Art, episode 125.
Time out.
Yeah, I said 100 again, didn't I?
God.
Count me down.
You've done 200. You've done like over 200 podcasts, and you still... Yeah, God damn it.
Live from your grave.
Welcome to Indestructible Art, episode 225, or should I say benchmark episode 225. With me today is boss man Ryan Adams, corporate senior of affairs and business things, the dude. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Big boss is just fine, Evan. You can just call me Big Boss. Hey, what's up, E-Dog? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. In the last 2 weeks, I've been at like two major esports events over the weekend. It's been crazy. Went to Columbus, Ohio, 2 weekends ago or last weekend, and then this just past weekend, I was at Heroes of the Dorm. I'm lacking sleep. I haven't eaten for a while. I'm feeling a little woozy, but this podcast is making me feel a lot better.
Well, shit, because this is a milestone episode, Evan. This is episode 225. That is huge.
Yeah, did we also mention that this is the premier podcast for all things video games and comic books?
The premier podcast for all things comic books!
I just like to throw that in there.
And sometimes video games. And sometimes we have three hosts, sometimes we have two hosts. We should also mention that one Omar De Armas could not make it this episode.
But he'll be back.
Will he?
He's still living his secret Havana Nights lifestyle.
Actually, I know what happened to Omar. He probably doesn't want me to talk about it on the show.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to talk about it. Sorry, Omar.
Of course you are.
I'm sorry, Omar. But I actually hung out with Omar De Armas over the weekend, which was pretty great. We went to a rock and roll show. We went and saw some rock and roll bands playing.
Rock and roll, huh?
There's some rock and roll. There's some like dancing and some swinging around.
I think you might get people the wrong idea.
What? The rock and roll show.
You didn't see like... the Rolling Stones or something.
Oh, I wish. That would have been awesome.
Ugh.
Or like Rat, Motley Crue. That shit would have been fucking tight.
Yeah.
No, instead we went to a hardcore show. Boo. No, we were, me and Omar and our former technical IT director, Evan Campbell. I'm sorry, Jason Campbell. Your brother, Evan Campbell. Jason Campbell. We went to a hardcore show and... it was weird because, like, I was hanging out with Omar, and Omar's a pretty, like, subdued dude, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
He's kind of mellow. Like, you hang out with Omar, he just wants to talk about, like, Nikes and dogs.
Yeah.
And, like, we get there to the hardcore show, and Omar's kind of hanging out in the back, not, like, really, like, engaging. And then, like, his favorite band, the Warriors, came on.
Really?
The Warriors came on. And, yeah, I didn't know Omar was a Warriors fan. Kind of weird. And... Omar lost his shit. Next thing I know, he was floor punching and like going around a circle and like moshing. And
is he stage diving?
He was circle pitting. He stage dive and he landed on his testicles. No joke. That's,
I've done that before. It's not fun.
He had a rupture in his testicles.
That's rough.
He was in a lot of discomfort. And that's why he couldn't make it on the episode. He ruptured his testicles jumping on some dude's head.
That's probably the most elaborate and detailed tale of stage diving I've ever heard, Ryan.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. Literally.
This is a podcast about sometimes video games and sometimes comic books, I guess.
Or mosh pits.
What's going on in comics, man? First, I just want to say I'm sorry I missed Bane. I feel like I really missed out. That band never disappoints when you see them in person. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. We a lot of people don't know this, but me, Evan, and Omar, we are fans of a certain genre of rock and roll called hardcore.
You gotta stop saying that.
A genre of rock and roll.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? It's rock and roll.
It's weird.
Evan, I know it's only rock and roll, but I like it. Okay.
Okay.
What do you have against rock and roll, man?
Take those old records off the shelf.
Damn right, dog. So yeah, we like going to hardcore shows every now and then. Yeah, even though we're the old dudes in the back, we're just hanging out and having a good time watching the kids, you know, mosh pitting. I think it's called slam dancing.
Slam dancing.
I think it's called slam dancing.
I'm sure they have some newfangled term for it now.
There's always something, always some new term for things. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but stuff never changes.
Yeah, but sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same, Evan.
Here we go. Here we go.
What? What do you mean? You thought this was a segue?
I thought you were, I thought you were getting ready to regale me with some serious lyrics.
No. I do got some news for you, though, Evan, in the world of comic books.
Fantastic.
World of comic books.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about what the podcast is actually about, Evan. Stop talking about hardcore shows and doing dancing, sing-alongs.
Yeah.
Stage diving.
Stage dives.
So, it was announced this week over at DC Comics that a new imprint was coming out. The imprint is called Young Animal.
Whoa.
Young Animal.
Not like Young Animal Man?
No, it is Young Animal. In fact...
Is this like after Muppet Babies? Then...
Evan, this has nothing to do with fucking Muppets. God damn it, stop ruining my segment, Evan.
That's just what I do. I mean, that's why we created the podcast, so you could say cool stuff and I can just make it terrible.
DC announced a new imprint led by and under the direction of Gerard Way. You know who Gerard Way is?
No, please enlighten me.
Okay, so Gerard Way is the lead singer for your favorite band, My Chemical Romance.
Okay.
Now, before you start getting all crazy, Evan, I know a lot of people may not necessarily like My Chemical Romance. I was never a fan of that genre of rock and roll.
Why did the worst bands have comic book writers?
Was there other dudes?
The Jared Leto guy, doesn't he write comics?
No, he just acts in the movies.
30 Seconds to Mars or whatever? That guy has comic books, doesn't he?
No, Evan, God damn it, Evan, no.
Oh.
All right, so Gerard Way is a fantastic writer. Like, really, really good writer. Like, no joke, I don't like his band, but goddamn, I love his books.
Okay.
His Umbrella Academy over at Dark Horse was absolutely amazing, and he's, like, best friends with Grant Morrison. You know how I feel about Grant Morrison, Evan.
Yep, I know.
So Young Animal is a new imprint that will be in continuity in DC Comics, and he'll be overseeing the launch of quite a few new titles. Some of these may sound familiar, but come September, Doom Patrol, which was a book that was launched, I believe, in the 60s or 70s over at DC, which was kind of DC's take on the X-Men. And it's always been kind of a cult favorite. There's been lots of rad creators who've worked on Doom Patrol, including one Grant Morrison. But this September, Gerard Way and artist Nick Darrington will put their unique stamp on the world's strangest heroes, taking on the universe's strangest villains.
Huh.
Then we have Shade, the Changing Girl.
Whoa.
Yeah. An alien takes over the body of a 16-year-old bully and must face the challenges of being a stranger in a foreign land, plus the consequences of a life she didn't live. Star Wars Moving Target writer Cecil Castellucci and artist Marley Zarcone explore themes of madness, alienation, and the bizarre in this sci-fi thrillers with covers by Becky Cloonan.
Whoa.
We love Becky Cloonan.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
Right?
That Ink and Thunder stuff that she does on her own is pretty rad.
Right? And then the next title is called Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye.
This is like Golgo 13 or what?
Gerard Way and John Rivera, along with artist Michael Avon Oeming, who we love him as well, take readers on a strange adventure with DC Comics Silver Age character Cave Carson, his cybernetic eye, and his college-age daughter as they travel to dark places deep in the earth and mind. Coming out October.
Oh, so I know we talked about this, and sorry because I'm coming late to the party. When you say new imprint, that's what you mean? It's like a new series of comics that are coming out?
Yeah, so new imprint is going to be kind of put away in their own corner of the DC universe, but these are all in-continuity stories. So these are books that you probably would have seen under the Vertigo line of comics.
Okay.
But DC's got Young Animal, and then the next book is Mother Panic. Meet Violet Page, a celebrity heiress by day and a brutal vigilante by night as she takes on the underbelly of Gotham's high society.
She eats steaks in the underbelly of Gotham's high society. Maybe. No, that sounds all right, I guess. What else you got?
Those are the initial books. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Four.
Okay.
Four. I can't count either.
Is that pretty common for?
Yeah,
for new imprints? Like, yeah, do they usually launch with only a handful of books?
Yeah, it's
or
just
they...
a handful. And I can see if it's popular, they can expand it, bring on other creators. It could be the artwork is cool and very, like, indie looking. And
sure.
Gerard Way is a really, really good writer. I mean, he channels a lot of Grant Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Morrison rules all.
So is that the book that you're most looking forward to, is the Grant Morrison book?
No. I'm just saying he's channeling a lot of Grant Morrison across the line. Like, Doom Patrol was a book that Grant Morrison wrote and made famous. He had a legendary run in the 80s, mm-hmm. Which is really good. And Gerard Way's kind of taking up the mantle that Grant Morrison left behind. And
oh, I see. Okay.
But all these books look awesome, and the artwork is rad. In fact, listeners, you can go to our website, indestructibleart.com, and you can see links to this artwork and the
initial
story from Newsarama.
Right on.
It looks bitchin', man. Like, I'm pretty stoked on this imprint. There's a lot of cool things happening in comics right now. And no, there's a lot of cool things. And I think DC is kind of seeing what's going on over Image, and maybe they gotta, you know, do something a little bit different.
That seems smart, and it seems like didn't they have some other imprint that was doing stuff like that before?
Yeah,
or?
For Vertigo.
Okay.
Yeah, but this seems like it's where Vertigo is maybe mature.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like it could be all ages.
Okay. So yeah, I've read some Vertigo
stuff. Right up your alley, Evan, all ages.
Yeah, I'm into the all ages stuff. Do you think that this stuff will kind of launch on time? When are they scheduled to start releasing these books?
It looks like the first book comes out in September, and it looks like it's probably a roll-up September through October.
Hmm. The reason I ask is because Oculus Rift is not doing so hot in terms of its launch here.
Mm. Mm, oh, yes. Maybe Cape Carson has a cybernetic eye. Will be out before the Oculus Rift.
If you need to get your virtual reality or augmented reality fix, I guess that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what happened is they're just like limited on supplies, and more people wanted those things than they thought. People who put in pre-orders, you know, within hours or minutes of actually the Oculus going on sale, new release date or shipment date has been pushed into May, late May. So that's nearly 2 months after the Oculus was originally supposed to launch.
So my question is, because
people are really frustrated.
Evan, Oculus launched as a Kickstarter, right? Did the people who did the backing, did they get their Oculus Rifts?
I think that some of them do, but you know, not all of them, I imagine. I haven't seen too much of it. I honestly haven't been following the story super closely.
Seriously, how pissed off would you be if you were one of those first backers, right?
Yeah.
Before this thing got bought by Facebook?
Well, I mean, they should still be kind of, like, if you're a backer, you should probably still be okay, because you're paying half as much as everyone else is. So, like, they paid $300 for it. They're getting, like, basically at half the cost of what the Oculus is for everyone else. So, I mean, they could still be disgruntled, I guess, and they've been waiting for years at this point for that thing to come out, I guess a little bit longer, and also they get a cheaper console. But these people, like, can you imagine dropping $600 on a thing and expecting to get it on you know, a certain day, a certain week? I'm sure people like take off work and things like this, you know, when you have a busy lifestyle and you work a lot. That's a thing that people do. And if you know, schedule that time, obviously you can just flip it around. But you know, the people make a big event of things like this, and especially with VR supposed to be like the new oncoming of the future of games, which I don't believe. I think it's a bunch of baloney.
My thing is, if you can shell out $600 for one of these things, you can wait an extra 6 weeks, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can wait. You'll be like, oh, but no, I got to use my hands and not have a screen attached to my place to play video games. Listen, assholes, you can wait a couple weeks.
Did you ever have a pre-order for a console or something that got delayed for a while? I mean, I remember one really bad instance of... Well, I think during the GameCube era, there was a lot. Like, I think Wind Waker got delayed. Remember? And then they had to do that whole, like, Master Sword collection or whatever. Like, they released, like, two versions of Ocarina of Time with Wind Waker for people who had pre-ordered or something like that.
Yeah, it was, like, the Master Quest,
Master
right?
Collection, yeah. And then I remember with Smash Brothers Melee got delayed, like, two or three times.
Yeah, but see, okay, I'm the dude that doesn't get mad when shit gets delayed, man. Because I understand, like, look, if something's getting delayed, it's because the developers or the company behind it are trying to make it the best thing it could possibly be. So, like, I'm okay with something being delayed if that means that, hey, look, we're trying to make it awesome. Or, hey, we just ran out of materials. Like,
yeah,
like, shit happens, man. Like, we gotta stop, as a culture and a society, we gotta stop being so goddamn demanding. we become so impatient with everything, and it's made us so stressed out and such angry people. We just need to mellow out and maybe just smoke some weed.
I know you don't mean that last part for reasons, I guess. I've never known you to be much of a marijuana
Evan,
smoker.
Evan, first off, stop trying to fuck with my street cred, okay?
I know you're trying to play it cool for the kids right now.
All the dope, bro.
But in terms of people feeling entitled, usually I'm on kind of the same page as you, but when you pay money for something, it makes things a little bit differently. I understand, like, yeah, you should be a little more patient with the stuff. The shipping hardware is not necessarily easy, and in the case of Oculus, it's not like they're actually making the Oculus better at this rate. They just didn't have enough supply, right, to meet the demand, and that can be a really frustrating thing, especially for me when Nintendo launched that Smash Brothers adapter. I remember feeling very, very annoyed that there wasn't enough to go around, and it was really hard to find these, and people reselling them for four or five times as much as they actually cost. So people were like eating up the inventory intentionally to turn a profit.
Oh yeah, well those guys are just dickheads.
Well, it just makes the whole situation really, really sucky. So probably going to start happening with Oculus stuff when it actually starts shipping.
I don't think so.
No?
No. It's too much of a high-end commitment, and all you got to do is wait a couple weeks, and then you'll get your unit for $600.
I hear you.
Problem is, people they're harsh in their own mellow, dog.
Harsh in their own mellow.
They're harsh in their own mellow. Everyone just needs to just take a step back. Chillax, you know, put on some Luther Vandross and just chill out, man.
That doesn't sound very president of corporate affairs business guy of you.
First off, that's not my title. It's big boss, asshole.
Little boss of...
And ask anybody, I'm the most mellow dude you'll ever meet.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'll ask somebody. I don't have any friends.
Somebody. Everyone's just like, oh, Ryan, it's mellow dude. Cool as a cucumber. Pretty cool guy. Everybody's favorite.
Until somebody like accidentally puts some chicken on your vegan pizza or something.
First off, I'm not vegan, bro. I'm not vegan, and I do a lot of drugs.
I don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know where we're supposed to take it from here. Apparently, you're a completely different person on this show than in real life.
Evan, again, stop saying things like that because you're ruining the facade.
This is getting a little too meta for me. Tell me more about comic books, please.
Well, some news, some late-breaking news has just hit the Indestructible Art newsroom.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting a fax. Came across my desk just a few minutes ago here at the corporate headquarters. I'm always working late here. I'm always like the last people. I'm like one of the last people to leave here.
First one in, last one to leave. I know the feeling.
It's me and the cleaning crew. Just hanging
out. That's a good name for it.
The cleaning crew. All right, so this is pretty big news. This actually is breaking just as we speak. That was announced at CinemaCon by Warner Brothers that, yes, indeed, a solo standalone Batman movie. It's on its way. Ben Affleck confirmed, and it looks like he will be directing, writing, and starring in it.
I swear we knew that already.
Well, it's been rumored. One of the rumors, too, is that Geoff Johns is actually co-writing the script with Ben Affleck.
Affleck.
Pretty big. So you get Affleck. He's writing this, directing this, and starring this. So I guess it could be it's official that only Batman can direct Batman.
That makes a lot of sense, I suppose. Hey, I have a question. I heard today that in Batman vs. Superman, still haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Lost all my street cred. But I heard that in there, Bruce Wayne goes to CrossFit class or something. Is that true?
No.
That doesn't happen? He's never like in a CrossFit gym working out with other people?
No.
Are you sure?
I saw the fucking movie, asshole. You haven't seen it. No, we just go to a CrossFit.
Somebody told me that.
I wish that would have happened. That would have been fucking awesome.
All right. Sorry for...
No, so Affleck was one of the better parts of the Batman vs. Superman movie.
Uh-huh.
It's gotten a lot of grief, the movie. People are split.
Yep.
You even hear it in Indestructible Art.
Yeah.
You had myself and Omar split on the movie. Omar was blinded by his rampant Marvel fanboyism stuff. That makes any sense?
Bat Ryan versus Super Omar.
And me, I was cool, calm, and collected and saw this through neutral eyes.
I don't think you could ever have neutral eyes in consuming anything Batman related.
Really? I was the one who, when Batman and Robin came out, I saw that opening night when I was 17 or 18 years old, Evan.
Yes.
So I know I'm dating myself.
Yes.
And I booed that movie about 10 minutes in. I booed it.
For how long was your boo, sir?
The length of George Clooney using ice skates as Batman. I literally yelled, what the fuck is going on? Not like this was a drastic improvement over Batman Forever.
Yeah.
At least Batman Forever was, it was still fucking terrible. I knew it was terrible when I was 15 when that movie came out, or 16, or however old I was.
Oh, wait, what's the difference? I thought Batman Forever was the freeze one.
No, Batman and Robin is the freeze one. Batman Forever is the Jim Carrey Riddler one.
Wait, I thought, what's the other villain in the Jim Carrey one?
Two-Face, played by Tommy Lee Jones.
That's right. Dude. Thank you, sir.
So that's what I'm saying is I can go in as chaotic neutral, Evan. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, chaotic neutral. No, I just think it's hard to be objective about that stuff when you're so vested in Batman stuff. So no, either you're coming at it from an angle of like, this stuff is terrible, it can't be anything close to the comic books that I love, or if it's even slightly good, then maybe
good. I hold these comic book movies like to the fire, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm brutal. I'm like, I had a good time watching Avengers, right?
Uh-huh.
Hated Age of Ultron.
Hmm.
Right? Loved Iron Man, did not like Iron Man 2, but liked Iron Man 3.
Nah, I hear ya.
So I can see, I can be subjective on these movies. I wasn't, I
well,
I,
yes, you can. Yeah.
Batman vs. Superman was a good movie. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
Whoa. It's good, huh?
I thought it was good.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some holes in it, but all movies have holes in it, man.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely will see it.
Unless it's RoboCop. RoboCop is still the greatest thing that's ever been appeared in film of any
fact.
Kind. Well, that's a rule of rule of nature, really.
It's like the second law of cinema, I think.
So what I was getting about this Affleck Batman is I thought he did a great job, and even if he's pretty brutal in it, Batman is very brutal in this movie, and I'm pretty sure there's manslaughter, a lot of manslaughter charges that could be thrown at Bruce Wayne.
Really? How do you feel about that?
It's a different take on Batman. Stop. This is a cinematic Batman, dude. It still is not nearly as cool as the printed Batman. It's not as cool as the animated Batman.
that's a high bar, though. Like, the animated Batman, I don't know if it's nostalgia or what, but damn, Batman the Animated Series is real good. Bro, you can't even
fuck with the animated series, man. Yeah,
it is like, so good.
Evan, don't even try to clown, dog. You can't even fuck with that shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's really good.
Right? Like, as like everyone loves Dark Knight, right? That's like everyone's favorite Batman movie?
Yeah.
Pretty good, but still, you can't fuck with the animated series, man.
Like the Dark Knight is probably not even as good as the worst Batman animated series episode.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. Hands down, Evan.
Yeah.
That motherfucking Bruce Timm?
Yeah.
You can't fuck with that guy, Evan.
Kevin Conroy?
Can't touch this.
Mark Hamill is the Joker.
That's the definitive Joker, man. That's
legacy, man.
That's why you see, it's so crazy. You see Kevin Conroy and why am I drawing a blank? You just said his fucking name.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. I'm sorry. That's why you see them. Like, they started these roles in like 92, and yet they're still doing like in the Arkham games, or even in like the newer DC Universe animated movies. Like, they keep revising their roles, and it's brilliant. I love it. In fact, The Killing Joke is coming out pretty soon. The animated version, which is a pretty dark graphic novel we talked about here on the show. It's the comic in which Barbara Gordon gets shot and paralyzed.
Yeah, it's a rough book.
It's a rough book, man. It's a tough read. But that's being, they're doing a cartoon version of that, and Hamill and Conroy are coming back for the voices. So even though Hamill always comes every like couple of years and goes, I'm done doing the Joker. Nah.
Nah. Well, I mean, even other people, like his thing is such a legacy, is like even other people that do Joker voices now are emulating that Mark Hamill stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I don't know about Suicide Squad yet, right? Because there's going to be Joker in there and it's probably going to be its own thing. But any animated Joker, because I know that they've gotten I think Nolan North to do some Joker stuff, right? As well as Penguin?
No, I think they got, what's his name? The guy from Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What's Baker. His name? Troy Baker.
Troy Baker.
So Troy Baker's definitely done some stuff, but it's going to sound, you know, it's influenced heavily by Mark Hamill's stuff.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Troy Baker does a pretty good Joker, though.
Yeah, but does he do a good Joker? Does he do a good Mark Hamill's version of Joker?
He does a good Hamill Joker.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we'll ever have like a different Joker voice.
Yeah, we'll see how Leto does.
Yeah.
Leto's pretty dreamy, though.
Mm.
Like, no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost as dreamy as Idris Elba.
Like, tattoos and, like, weird
teeth things. No, I'm just talking, I'm talking outside of the Joker. I'm saying Leto, not Joker.
Oh, so just Jared Leto on his own?
Yeah, he's a good actor, too.
Does not hold a flame to Idris Elba, dude. I don't know what you're saying right now.
No, I'm not saying he's better looking. I'm saying he's, like, pretty good. I said he's not an Idris Elba, Evan.
Oh, in terms of acting, he's, like, on parallel?
I know you can hear me, but you're not listening.
No, I'm way too tired to hear anything that you're saying.
Idris Elba is the best-looking man on the planet, and he really should be the next Batman after Ben Affleck.
He should be the next anything. Like, give me any, like, mainstream superhero or, like,
Fuck that. I'm going to say it right now, and there's been a lot of controversy about this, but I'm sticking to my guns on this. Idris Elba should be the next James Bond.
Yeah, James Bond, but what if would he make a good Superman?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. He'd be a good Magneto. He'd be a good Wolverine.
Oh, dude, Magneto would be.
Dude, he has got so much range, he'd be a bitch in Miss Marvel. Like, no joke. No joke. And that, you would watch it and be like, dude, he really pulled it off.
That is maybe the funniest thing you've ever said
you
on the show.
You would watch it and be like, he really pulled that off. You know what? At first, I wasn't quite sold, but he's got the chops.
He does.
He's got the range.
He does.
So I'm excited about Ben Affleck directed, written Batman movie with Geoff Johns, and it could be cool, man. Because you already got the origin. At this point, Batman already has like Jokers and Robins and Nightwings all running around. Like, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. We haven't seen that Batman yet, man.
It's true, we haven't seen that Batman.
Plus, yet. I mean, the Batman that we get, Batman vs Superman, he is a mean motherfucker,
man.
Like, no joke, no joke. Evan, you're gonna watch it and you're gonna be like. I know Batman's a dick, but goddamn, he's a fucking asshole. Like, Batman is an asshole in this movie. I love it.
I'm going to have to hold my judgment, reserve my judgment, until I can actually watch it and figure it out.
And then there's, like, the stepbrothers moment. Stepbrothers, moment in Batman vs. Superman. You'd be like, fuck yeah.
Stepbrothers?
Yeah.
Like the movie Stepbrothers?
Yeah. Does this mean that we're best friends?
What? Really? I actually have never seen Step Brothers.
Oh my god, you're fucking fired.
Why? It seems terrible. That seems like a terrible movie.
No, Step Brothers is actually a pretty fucking funny movie.
Who's in Step Brothers?
You have Will Ferrell and...
The worst. And?
What'd you just say about Will Ferrell?
He's the worst. And who else is in that movie?
Whoa. Time out. Why is Will Ferrell the fucking worst?
Just some of his stuff isn't good.
Like what?
Everybody's so hyped on Will Ferrell. He's like three good movies.
You are out of your goddamn fucking mind, dude.
Tell me a good movie that Will Ferrell's in.
Step Brothers.
Nope. It can't be.
With John C. fucking Reilly, asshole.
John C. Reilly's okay, but he kind of looks like Shrek.
Dude, you are really mean, Evan.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
You are very judgmental on how people look.
I'm just saying, people are on this Will Ferrell train, but it's not like that train isn't going very far. It's like the caboose and the wheel is falling off. It's not that good.
Ooh, you're a dick.
Old School is good. Elf is good. And that's all I can think of right now.
All right.
Oh, Other Guys with Will Ferrell and then the other dude. That's good.
Step Brothers. Semi-Pro.
Okay. I actually haven't seen Semi-Pro, but I heard that. Is that the ice skating one?
No, it's the basketball one.
Okay.
Stranger Than Fiction. Talladega Nights. Curious George.
Curious George. You're just reading an IMDb page at this point.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that right now, Evan.
At least fold me some trivia or something. Little known facts about Will Ferrell.
So Ben Affleck is a good Batman, and now we're getting a Batman movie.
Okay, we might not agree on Will Ferrell, but can we agree on this Gears of War 4 trailer being just slightly underwhelming?
It's a bit sappy.
I think it's just funny to see like Marcus Fenix and then his little kid runs up to him, but Marcus Fenix still hasn't taken that do-rag off. Like, he's still wearing it.
He's like, I still got a soul patch and I'm a dad. If you're a dad with a soul patch, it's time to shave.
It's time to shave.
You're not cool, dad. You're embarrassing, dad.
Yeah, you're no longer.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a dad with a soul patch, you should go unfuck yourself and go shave your face.
Dad with a soul patch. Is no doubt of mine.
Is no doubt of mine.
Yeah.
You're embarrassing your children.
You are. Yeah, you really need to get rid of that thing.
So I'm pumped on Gears of War 4. I like the Gears of War series.
I love Gears of War multiplayer. I like Gears of War 4 series. The story's usually not that great, but chainsaw things in half. Just no other game does it better than Gears of War.
Yeah, I like chainsawing things.
Throwing, like, also the concept for grenades being on the end of a rope that you swing, like, just looks cool as hell. The first game to do Roadie Run and all that. And, you know, just every once in a while you need that Gears of War fix.
Plus you had Ram as the end boss, who I liked. I liked that last Ram fight.
Yeah.
That was the best boss fight in the whole entire series.
Yeah, still is probably the best. Even better than the big spider thing. I forget what they call him, like Crypt or something.
Yeah.
That thing is cool. I mean, the fight was dumb, but those things are kind of crazy looking. Yeah,
they're
scary.
They're cool looking, but it's not nearly as cool as fighting Ram on a moving train with the fucking
the krill.
The krill?
Fly around.
Ooh, that was good, man. But Gears of War 4, the trailer was a bit underwhelming, but yeah, seeing Marcus Phoenix in a suburban role, like farming.
Well, yeah, but also in the game, like, we're done with Marcus, right? You playing as this kid?
Yeah, you're playing as a pretty good-looking white dude again.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why. I wonder why they made that choice.
Because all protagonists have to be white dudes. I'm not saying that to be, like, an asshole. I'm just saying, like, everybody either looks like Marcus Phoenix or Nathan Drake.
Yeah, Nathan Drake. I think even the dude, I think even Marcus Phoenix's kid in Gears of War 4 even looks like Nathan Drake.
Everyone looks like Nathan Drake.
Yeah, the dude from Bioshock looks very similar. I don't know where to go from here. But yeah, there's a lot of that. Way too much of that.
Hey, did you hear the rumor about the next Zelda?
No, what's this rumor?
Right? Have you heard about this? It's been kind of all over the news. Is that for the first time ever, now this is just speculation.
Yeah.
For the first time ever in the series of a Zelda game, you can actually pick Link's gender at the start of the game.
What?
So if you want to play as a female Link, you can. If you want to play as a male Link, you can as well.
That would be really cool.
That's a rumor that's going around.
Man, if they do that, they'd make a lot of people really, really happy. Awesome. Dude, that would be awesome.
So that is the hot rumor. You heard it here first. You heard it here from the comic book guy. Once again, out scooping the video game dorks.
I've never played as a Lady Link before. Well, you didn't technically scoop us because it's not real yet. So if it's real, then you get the scoop.
But it's a real, scoop because it's out there. And I'm just throwing it out there, Evan.
It's just a rumor, just like those other pictures.
You're not the news police. You're not the news police. First off, my speculation and my rumors tend to be more true than yours and Omar's.
I think you just say that, and the more you say that, it makes them true. But sometimes you're really wrong, and we don't talk about that.
I tell you to go check them, and you know, we have this whole entire archive of episodes that you can listen to, Evan, where you can see that, holy shit, Ryan was fucking right.
I do check them. I check them while I'm editing the podcast, and so I'm like, that shit can't be real. And a lot of times,
it is.
You know, it's never confirmable.
And then there's been a few times, Evan, where you've actually admitted to me, like, oh, shit, Ryan, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You were right. I was wrong.
That's because I'm a nice guy, and when I'm wrong, I admit it. When I'm right and you're wrong, pretend like it's not.
No. If I'm wrong about something, I am, as the big boss, I will always take the high road and be like, Evan, I apologize. I was incorrect in the statement. But that doesn't really happen that often because you're never really right.
You know what would make a great Link? Idris Elba.
Oh, dude, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And he probably played Ganon.
Oh, man.
And Tingle.
Yep. He'd be a great Tingle.
And Zelda.
Uh-huh.
I like that he's a Zelda, man.
Yeah, he's cool. You want to do picks of the week?
Picks. Picks of the week, yeah. Evan, why don't you go ahead and go first?
My pick of the week. First off, I just want to say Heroes of the Dorm was a really cool thing that I got to experience firsthand. It's always rad to see, or just it's crazy to me that we live in an era where kids can play video games and win their college tuition. That's a dream that I never thought anybody would realize. You know, growing up as a kid, putting a lot of hours into games that I really liked, competitive or otherwise. But I mean, did you ever imagine that happening, Ryan?
No.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Like not at all.
Yeah, so that's a rad thing that happened, and I saw it. Arizona State won I'm not sure exactly all of the, I think there's only like 32 teams to start with or something. So that's, there's obviously a lot more colleges than 32. It's not my pick of the week, but I just wanted to mention again, my pick of the week is a game called The Fall, which is really cool. It's a little deceptive, Ryan. Like, it looks like it might be one of those Metroidvania games. It looks like, you've probably seen it, and you've probably seen, if you're on the PlayStation Store or something, it looks like, Isaac from Dead Space, you know, in his like crazy suit, but it's a 2D platformer. It's not necessarily a platform actually, but it looks like that. It's actually an adventure game, and you kind of run around and you discover, like, and very early on in the game, and the game's been out for a while, so I'm sorry if I spoiled this for you, but it's a necessity here. You play as a, like, an AI trying to protect a human who's inside of you, but as the AI, your tools have broken as you've crash landed onto this planet just in the suit. That's the fall part. And you crash land onto this planet, and you can't detect whether or not your human is okay. You can sense that the vitals are alive still, but or at least you think they are. And so the rest of the game is about you trying to circumvent your programming to try and save your human, right? So that's like where the like unlockable skills, like Metroidvania style, comes from, where you find yourselves in these situations where you're kind of able to override your programming, and you actually like go into the menu and then hit like activate, I forget what some of them are specifically, but like use of weapons or something, or yeah, but there's like very specific AI protocols you're supposed to follow, and the story there is really good. The adventure game part of it really sucks. I must say there's some puzzles I just got stuck on. It's probably because I was way too tired to be playing video games, but yeah, I really like this concept of The Fall. I know it's supposed to be episodic, and it's been a long time since they've made like the next part, and I haven't finished this part. So hopefully by the time I'm done, they announce something's going on with that. But there's some really, really cool concepts in that game. You should check it out if you haven't.
Oh, what platform is it on?
It's on PlayStation 4 and PC, and probably Xbox, I'm guessing, but I can't confirm that.
Nice, Evan. Nicely done. That sounds like actually a pretty cool premise.
It is a cool premise, and I wish that the game part was a little bit more fun, because then I could convince you to play it, but I'll just have to tell you about it, because I think you hate adventure games, right? You're not a fan. You think they're boring?
Well, what is that supposed to mean? I like all games, Evan.
You do?
Yeah. Come on, buddy.
Unless it's made by, like, Telltale, right?
Wait, it's one of those games?
No, it's not like that, but it's more like, you know how there's like old school point and click adventure games?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mix between that and an actual 2D like Metroid game, you know?
No.
So that's what I mean. Like, I think the game could be a little bit better. The puzzles are interesting. They have like interesting narrative hooks to them. For example, one of the first ones is, like, you find another suit of armor that's kind of like you, and then you have to like kind of figure out how to interface with it, like how to talk with it, and then after that you have to kind of, I don't know, you just have to figure out stuff, and it mostly involves looking around the environment for things to click on and interact with. So that's what I mean. You probably wouldn't like that part, but you'd really like the story.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Maybe I'll check it out. Maybe, yeah. I'll check it out.
I wouldn't recommend it for you. Honestly, I'll beat it and I'll just tell you what happens.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Send me a tweet.
Yeah. I've known you long enough. I know how this will shake out.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me, dog. Why are you
What do I know? And you know what I know? I know you got a pick of the week.
My pick of the week is something a little bit different this week. It is not a comic book. It is not a video game. It is not a movie. It's not a TV show. It's none of that stuff.
What could it possibly be?
What could it be? What if I told you, Evan, there's this wonderful place that exists online where all of your favorite comic books all live together in harmony, and you can go there.
It's got to be some kind of catch, though. All of my favorite comic books in one place, they've got to be real expensive.
No, it's not, Evan. And it sounds like a plug, but it's not. We don't get any money from anybody. We keep this shit fucking on the real, dog.
Yeah.
So when we tell you, like, when we tell you about something, know that it comes from the heart and it's coming from us. We don't take bribes. We don't take anything like that. You can't pay us off, man.
Well, we've never been offered, so
we're
don't
not
really...
for sale.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not for sale. So if anyone's listening and want to give us a bunch of money, well, you just go take us somewhere else, because we're not interested.
Yeah. Just go like throw it in the trash.
Yeah. And you throw it in the trash by my house. I'll make sure it gets properly disposed of.
Yeah, like we'll recycle that shit.
No, I've been a big fan of InStockTrades.com for a long time, especially where I buy all my trades.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing about InStockTrades. What I love about it is for like free shipping orders over $50, and for the most part, you get like 40% off everything in your order, which is rad. And the other reason why I bring this up is even though I have a lot of single issues because I read so many books that sometimes it doesn't make sense for me to buy a bunch of trades because I already own the single issues. But if it's a run I really, really like and I don't want to try to go through my long box to find all the single issues,
yeah,
it makes so much more sense for me to like buy a collected edition of some books. And this week I picked up from InStock Trades, I picked up Paper Girls, the first collected trade.
Nice.
Wolf Moon, which I really liked the first three issues, and my comic book store didn't carry the rest, which sucks. So I never got to finish up this this arc, and it made me a big fan of Colin Bunn, your favorite dessert, Evan.
Yeah, it's my favorite breakfast pastry.
But also what I picked up was it's probably my second or third favorite run of a comic book ever, was Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Malev's Daredevil run, which is something, I think it's like 60 or 70 issues. And to find all those collected, it's like three volumes. Instead of paying like something like $35 for each volume, I paid like $15 for each volume.
Yeah, man, so, that's a rad website. You recommended that to me a while ago, and I've used it a couple times since.
So, I mean, yeah, I could have easily picked like one of my Daredevil books or Paper Girls.
Or one of those trades you just picked up.
That's what I'm saying is, but as someone who tries to save as much money as possible, but still likes having like physical books instead of going and I could have probably got these books on the Marvel app or the Marvel Unlimited app or Comixology or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
But it looks so nice having these books on my bookshelf. And Evan, you've been to my house and, you know, I take a lot of pride and I display all my trades and my books and because I really, you know, I feel about comics. It's the greatest thing ever. And I think they should be displayed and they should be read. So InStock Trades is literally, that's the place where I go get all my trades at. I still support my local LCS, my local comic book store. I pick up all my single issues. But when it comes to trades, I really like what InStock Trades does. And the way they package this shit, too, is awesome, man. Like, the stuff comes to my house, firmly secured inside the box. They're not moving anywhere. They're polybagged. There's some styrofoam that holds everything together. There's actually, like, a negative space around the books inside the box, so even if it was to be dropped or thrown out a window, the books come in fantastic condition.
Really?
Oh, I love it. Love it. So I know it sounds like a plug. It really does. But man, a lot of people do ask me, like, Ryan, where do you get your books at? And I always tell them, you know, I buy my comic books at the comic book store by my house. And but when it comes to my trades, man, online, InStockTrades.com.
That's pretty cool, dude.
So that's my pick of the week, Evan.
Right on, man. I like that.
So, whoa, hold on a second. Are you seeing this?
What?
I just got a text from Omar.
Okay.
Oh, I'm Omar. Looking. Okay. Well, Omar says, hey guys, sorry I've missed the last couple episodes. I've been away on business and having my testicles in recovery right now from a hardcore incident that transpired over the weekend. But I just want to say good job on the show. I miss you guys and I hope to be back soon. P.S. Ryan, Mr. Big Boss, you're doing great job as always. Evan, you could learn a thing or two from Ryan. Also, my pick of the week. Oh, he's got pick of the week. Typical Omar, right?
Yeah, just mailing him in.
Typical with his text Omar
phone thing.
What a guy. Omar's pick of the week is the sound of Ryan Adams' voice.
Oh man, that is the worst pick of the week.
You are killing me, dog. You're killing me, man. You say the nicest things, Omar. You know, Omar, you got a nice sounding voice too when you don't sound so congested.
Omar, that's a terrible pick of the week, man.
Look at Omar. Oh, I love that guy. I love the fact that he sends me a text during the episode. What a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that wraps up this milestone 225th episode of the number one name in all things for comic books and video games and podcasts and stuff.
and we really specialize at the and stuff, I think.
There's all types of and stuff that goes on in this episode.
You can't get a better and stuff than with Indestructible Art. You're not going to be disappointed.
Please make sure you check out indestructibleart.com for our past episodes, articles, and links that pertain to the topics that we covered on this episode. You can also send us questions via Twitter, hit us up at pixelsthepanels, or you can email us directly at podcast@indestructibleart.com. So on behalf of the IA crew, I'd like to thank you for joining us. We know you have lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours. And what does that make you, Evan Campbell?
The big boss of corporate sanctuary affairs mm-hmm. with paperwork and faxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it makes you indestructible.
That's right. We'll see you next week. And perhaps Omar will be in full recovery mode. Use lots of ice, Omar, and stay away from icy hot. I know from experience. That's the last thing you want, some Tiger Bomb or some icy hot in that region.
Yeah, it's a little sensitive for that.
It gets a little too hot. A little too hot.
I heard it makes you heal faster, though, so maybe you should try it.
Don't do it all. See you next week.
I think he goes to bed early or something. I don't know. You guys should have done it on Sunday, though.
I saw Omar's apartment for the first time.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Fucking, that shoe wall's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Sneakerhead, man.
Yeah, he's got a lot of shoes.
Yeah. Got the suit bender.
Yeah.
Cute dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what's funny is I've been to Omar's house, but I haven't been to Evan's.
Live from your grave.
Make sure you don't have one of your dumb intros.
What dumb intro?
Be cool.
Keep it cool.
You need to think, how would Ryan introduce the show?
Uh-huh.
Certain pizzazz. You like my new thing?
Yeah, the thing you stole from Omar from like 3 years ago?
Friends, fans, loved ones. I still have my intro.
And the other stuff was better.
That's Evan. That's Omar. This is Ryan.
Makes sense. This is an audio podcast. Not like you're pointing at us.
I am pointing at you. I actually point when I do it.
Nobody can see this.
Nobody cares.
I know that you're pointing. I can feel you pointing at me.
Yeah, right in your fucking chest, you fucking dipshit.
Yeah, I can feel that gesture that you're doing right. Stop that. Stop it. Stop it. Put that away. Stop it.
I'm poking you in the fucking eye.